Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor, Say the Darndest Things in My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And today we're going to answer a question I probably get in my email maybe two or three times a week saying, should I stop investing to get out of debt? Usually when we're in debt, we're trying to do anything, right? We have credit card debt, we have student loans, things of that nature. And we're really trying to get out of this, you know, from under this wet blanket that just feels like it weighs on us every day that we can't move. And then you're thinking, well, I see on YouTube, I see on TV, people talking about investing. A.B. Ridgeway says you should invest and you should get into compound growth. And I want some of that. So you get into the market and you start opening accounts and you're trying to buy and sell stocks. And maybe you don't have the right information or the right guidance. And maybe you get burned and you're like, was that a good idea? Maybe I shouldn't have did this. Or maybe people are lying. Well, I don't think any of that's true. I think there is a way that you can do both, but we're going to listen to Dave Ramsey and see exactly what he recommends as far as trying to get out of debt and should you invest.
Joe is with us in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Huge fan. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
Better than I deserve. What's up in your world?
Yeah, so, well, I want to say thanks to that last couple for the great testimony and for being the toughest act to follow ever. my good news is that leading up into 2020, completed all the baby steps, was really rolling, have up to 75K in retirement funds as a 32-year-old. In 2020, I got married, and then we both got master's degrees. So my big downer is that we actually now have 85K in student loan debt. And when I talk to the very, you know, successful people, they tell me, well, you should start paying that off, but also no matter what, contribute to your 401K so you get the match. But I have a feeling you're going to tell me that I should completely stop contributing to that 401K to pay off the debt.
Why do you have that feeling?
Well, I've watched you a few times, but I haven't had to revisit the Dave Ramsey scriptures since 2020. So I'm calling to maybe get a kick in the butt and curious what you would say to those, you know, wealthy folks who took that strategy of still contributing to their 401k while paying off debt.
I would say that they are not as wealthy as maybe they're projecting themselves to be, or that they're unusual. I'll answer that question first. When we studied the millionaires, 10,167 people who became millionaires, 90% of which became millionaires starting from nothing. They did not inherit money to make them millionaires, meaning they did this, they built wealth. The vast majority of them, there were some that followed the plan you're talking about, but the vast majority of them, you know, concentrated on getting rid of debt and then used the freed up income to build wealth with.
I actually like this point as far as a majority of millionaires came from nothing and how they built it themselves. I think we are under this illusion in our society that for some reason that there is some special formula or something that we should do in order to become millionaires or something that we could read that's going to transform our lives or maybe affirmations that we read. It's actually doing the work. It's the ability to save, live below your means, to pay off debt, contribute to savings account, get compound growth, and continuously do that over and over for a long period of time. It's about time in the investment. It's not timing the investment. People want to buy and sell and trade and try to be the Wolf of Wall Street, but it's really about time in the investment that you are going to grow and be the person that you want to be. It may not happen when you're 22. It may happen when you're 35, but you are going to get there. There are different types of millionaires. There's millionaires who have $1 million and there's millionaires that have $500 million. There are different types, right? So it's not just about being a millionaire. It's about living the life you are supposed to do. Because think about it, no matter what level of life you are, there's things that you waste. You know, it's like making more money, you could just waste more expensive things. That's all it really is. So it's really about being content, being able to live below your means so you can stay focused while you're paying off debt or whether you're investing. So I don't think that he's answered the question yet, but I did want to point out being a millionaire is more than just having something on paper. It's a lifestyle. It's a character. It's someone who you are. It's something that you are. Yeah, I think that's better. It's something that you are that allows you to build an empire where you can have $1 million at your disposal.
As your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income. Now, can the way you're working it, or you're talking about working it, work? Yes, it can. The reason that we've had more success than a lot of people in helping people build wealth is not because of the mathematics of this discussion, but because of the behavior aspects of this discussion. And what we found is, and it kind of runs against my math nerd brain, but what we found is the psychology of this whole thing is more important than the math is. You get the psychology right, the math ends up taking care of itself. Here's what I mean. Very few people can be consistent and intense on three things at once. That lack of focus, that lack of being dialed in on a singular goal, causes people to not accomplish the goal. So it's very difficult to, I'll use something you said, get your master's degree while running 10 marathons in a year. Okay? They're both excellent goals. There's nothing wrong with both, but it requires a level of diligence and singularity of focus to complete Herculean tasks.
So he answered the question. Yes, you could do both. You can contribute to your 401k, you can get the match, and you can pay off debt. He is saying it is hard. And I think this is where me and Dave Ramsey usually part ways. I'm the math guy. I stick to the math. That's why you hire a financial advisor, someone who's going to stick to the math and not stick to your feelings. Now, where we disagree is what they call a debt management strategy. They're called snowball technique, and they're called the avalanche technique. Mathematically, the avalanche technique will take care of your debt a lot faster because it focuses on paying off the debt with the highest interest rate. So if you have a high interest rate, you're going to have a higher interest, right? And you're going to be charged more. So if you pay that card off first, you are going to save more money in the long run, or basically pay less money in interest in the long run. He believes in the snowball technique where you pay off the lowest balance. So let's say that you have a JCPenney's card. Let's just hypothetically say it's 1%. And you have $10 on there. He's saying, just pay off the JCPenney's card. You're going to close one of your accounts and it's going to make you feel good. And if you have credit card, let me give you one caveat. Try not to close it. Just try not to use it. That helps with your credit, but that's a whole nother conversation. But let's say you pay it off, right? And the balance is zero. He wants you to do that. But you have $10 that's being charged at 25% on another card. Mathematically, it's better to put that $10 to the other card, pay the minimum on your, you know, whatever card that has the $10, JCPenney's card or whatever it is, because you're going to save yourself a dollar or 50 cent or whatever it is in interest. And you can use that money that you save to pay off more debt in the future. Now, if this is all confusing, it's okay. I have a whole write-up on my blog, abridgewaywealthmanagement.com. You can go there. There's an article that talks about the snowball technique versus the avalanche technique and how to pay down debt and how to really organize so you can take the biggest chunk out and pay it all faster and better. Now, what Dave is talking about is a psychological aspect, and this is where we kind of agree as well. As a Christian financial advisor, I don't believe it's about how much money you make. It's about how you believe about the money that you have, the faith that you have in God, what you're doing with it. You know, are you contributing to society? Are you becoming a good person? That's what's really important to me. Not if you made 5% or 6% in the market, but how you are approaching your money. How are you supporting your family and how are you supporting your community? Are you making money the legal way? Or are you doing it the illegal way? I don't care if you have a Lamborghini, if you're robbing, stealing, killing, and doing drugs, I have no respect for you. But if you're working at Walmart and you're saving up your money and you have a Honda Accord, I am very proud of you. I think that is very admirable and I have way more respect for you. So let's keep going. But I disagree with Dave here. You can do both. That's why you need a financial advisor to be objective and take the emotions out and says, listen, this is a strategy. This is the goal. This is what we're going to do. You don't have to do it yourself. You can partner with somebody who's actually going to help you. Like when you're training, you're running that marathon, you have a what? You have a coach. They're not doing the running for you. They're guiding you through the exercises, the behaviors that you need to do to accomplish your goals.
And when you screw around with them, you end up not doing the marathons or not doing the NBA or worse, not doing both because you try to do too many things at once and so much stuff on your plate. And Earl Nightingale, the father of motivational speaking, grandfather of motivational speaking, used to say that the difficulty of achieving the goal is not what keeps people from achieving the goal as often as the things that they try to do while they're trying to do the goal. And so all of that is my pitch for singularity of purpose, meaning, yeah, I'm stopping everything temporarily. What's your household income, by the way?
About $160,000 a year.
Okay, so you're going to be debt-free in under 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, if we really behaved ourselves, that
would
be
the case. Well, I mean, I'm presupposing that with this whole discussion. Because if you don't behave yourself, the other people's plan doesn't work either.
Understood. Yeah, I mean, I was on a three-year plan, given some, you know, emergency fund expenses, but
yeah, you're spending. You know, you're still going out to eat. You're still going on vacations. You're still screwing around.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, $160,000. You ought to be able to find 40 of it in a year. That's 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty wimpy.
Yeah. Well, I think it feels hard because you've already worked through the baby steps and you got that pride and that excitement in 2020 of having everything paid off. And now it's kind of like a drag to have to go back and go, oh, man, we got to do this again. And I love that you called in knowing what Dave's going to say. I mean, you already know that you got to go back through this. You know that it's going to be hard. You're familiar with the work and the effort. I think it's just really accepting deep down that this journey is, you know, starting again, that you're back in baby step two. And with that, I would encourage you to go back through FPU or maybe even coordinate a class, you know, listening to the last debt-free scream. You know, they really helped other people while they were helping themselves, and that produces motivation. So I think the biggest challenge right now is like digging deep in your soul to figure out, you know, how are we going to get
But don't go lead a class if you're going to keep doing this other plan. Okay.
Right.
That'd be hypocritical. We don't need coordinators half butt doing stuff.
All right, so I think this is enough of Dave Ramsey. I think we know where this is going to go, where we're just going to be bashing the guy on the phone call and kind of making him feel bad as far as, you know, his comments and things of that nature. And I don't want to get into all that. But what I do want to get into is where me and Dave differ, and that's what I say this all the time. It's like, okay, we can leave it up to the psychological aspect. Financial planning, that's fine, but look at the nature of human beings. The nature is to do the thing of the least resistance, right? So he has $40,000 that he possibly could free up, pay it off in 2 years, and he could be debt free, right? But he has to have the behaviors, he has to have the character, he has to have the discipline in order to do that. And that's sacrificing his lifestyle and everything else. And Dave didn't like it. He was like, hey, you're making excuses. And sometimes people need tough love. You know, this is what this podcast is about as well. It's actually giving you the truth, giving you some tough love and saying it's not all right what you're doing. Okay, we're laughing, but it's not a funny matter when you're $85,000 in debt. You have $160,000 coming into the household and you can't prioritize the money you've already spent. I mean, I'm not talking about saving for the future. We're talking about money you've already spent and you owe people, right? That's greed. And they said that's true. That's the true nature of greed, is withholding funds that are due to other people. You can't get much greedier than that. Is that it's one thing to say, I don't want to spend my money because I just want to hoard it. I'm going to keep it for myself. I've earned it. I'm just going to keep it. It's another thing to get the benefit from someone else, take their goods or whatever it is, and say, I don't want to pay you back. I'm just going to hold on to my, I have the money, but I'm just going to hold back. That is another level of greed. So brothers and sisters, if you are in debt or if you need some new strategies on how to get out of debt, make sure you download our 4 Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a 19-page beginner's guide to help you save for retirement. It goes over savings, debt management, investing, and wealth transfers, the 4 pillars that you need to build a strong financial plan. And if you don't know anything about it, I highly recommend either you go to Amazon.com, you can download it for $1.50, or you can go in the description, find the link, download it, sign up to our newsletter, and you get it for free. I'm not saying, oh, it's a $99 value. It's a $99 value. It's a $300 value for yours for free. No, I'm not doing all that. You can get it from Amazon. You can download it onto your Kindle if you want to, or you can download into a PDF or whatever it may be by downloading the link in the description. I think that's the easiest way to do it. And if you've enjoyed this episode, you need more information preparing to retire, or if you just want to make the right choices earlier by thinking ahead, make sure you watch some more of our videos, look at some of the titles, see what resonates with you. We also have playlists that if you're preparing for retirement or if you want to avoid potential scams where you can lose your retirement, whether it's bad financial advisors or maybe it's an online Social Security scam, whatever it may be. We have a couple of playlists, about 11 videos in there right now. We're adding to them every week. So make sure that you visit us and watch some of those videos to learn more. As always, make sure that you subscribe, like, and comment. It really helps with the algorithm, but we really appreciate it if you just watch more of our videos and come back and see us. That is it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.